Numbers chapter 6 and verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Just those few verses. And let us please look to the Lord that he would come now to us and help us as we come to this portion of scripture that's known as the Aaronic blessing. The Aaronic blessing, because of course this blessing was to be spoken by Aaron. And that's why it's often referred to as the Aaronic blessing. Well, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer, please. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for these encouraging verses that we have read. And these verses, Lord, that have so much teaching in them. And Lord, we just ask now that the Holy Spirit would come to preacher and congregation alike as we would consider this great blessing. And we pray even that as a result of our study today, that there would be blessing indeed for each one of us. So we commit ourselves to Thee, Lord. Undertake for us, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Over the past week, there has been a lot of talk about what is happening within the Roman Catholic Church. And particularly at the end of the week, whenever that report was issued, outlining all of the abuse that has taken place within the Roman Catholic Church, the whole country, the whole island of Ireland has been rocked and has been shaken to the core. One particular man, I just happened to hear him on the, I think it was the Ulster television news on Friday evening, and he made a statement that I couldn't help but think about, and I was struck by the statement, and he simply said this: every person in Ireland is examining whether they can still remain a Catholic. He was saying that every person, every Catholic in Ireland is taking a long, hard look at the church and taking a long, hard look at themselves and considering whether they can remain as Roman Catholics. What a statement. Every Catholic in Ireland. Do you know, I believe that in these days, and as a result of these things that are happening within the Church of Rome, I believe that we're seeing the fulfillment of the Book of Revelation. You see, the Book of Revelation says, Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen. And I believe that Babylon, referred to in the Book of Revelation, I believe that it refers to the Church of Rome, that great Babylon, that great harlot, the mother of harlots, as it were. And I believe that in these days, we are seeing the beginning of the end of the Church of Rome. I hope that you've been praying for that, by the way. I hope that you've been praying for the downfall of the Church of Rome. I hope that you've been praying and that you'll continue to pray for the fall of Romanism. Now, notice that I didn't say that we should pray against and pray for the downfall of the Roman Catholic people. Not at all. We should pray that they will be saved. We should pray that they will be brought to Christ and converted. But we ought to pray for the downfall of the system. How terrible to think of those things that the Roman Catholic priests were guilty of. men who profess to be holy and men of God, and yet to think of some of the sins and some of the vile offences that they committed against children. How terrible. Today we have read about priests, not Roman Catholic priests, but Jewish priests. And the Lord has given this commandment to the priests of Israel to bless the people. You see, you'll notice in verse 22 that it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them." So the message comes from the Lord to Moses, and then Moses passes the message on to the priests. Now these priests were faithful men, not like the Roman Catholic priests who have been guilty of all the abuse. These were faithful priests, Aaron and his sons. And here we have these men who have been entrusted with the responsibility of blessing the people. These are tremendous words. These verses 24 to 26, as we have already said, this is known as the Aaronic blessing. Verse 24, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." And the Lord was saying to the priests, whenever you come together into the tabernacle or the temple, your responsibility at the end of worship is to raise your hands and to bless the people, or to pronounce the blessing upon the people. Now the priests themselves had no power to bless the people, but it was the Lord who through the priests would bless the people. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled this Old Testament scripture? Whenever the Savior came to this earth to save us from our sins, we read in Luke 24 that just before he went back to heaven, he lifted up his hands and he blessed the people. Luke 24, and if you go to the last part of the chapter, verse 50. "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them." Here's the fulfillment of number 6. Here's the greatest pronouncement of the Aaronic blessing that ever took place. The Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 51. "And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." Here is the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's as it were pronouncing this ancient blessing upon his disciples. You know what today? You know what the lovely thing is today? This is the beautiful reality today. This same Lord Jesus still pronounces his blessing on his people. The blessing is pronounced upon the people of the Lord. Those who know the Lord as Savior. Tell me today, do you know the Lord as Savior? Well then his blessing is pronounced upon you today. Oh yes, you might be going through difficult times. And there's illness in the home. Or maybe death has come into the home. And of course there has been death for the Miller family during the past week. And there's illness and there's sickness. And young Lee is lying on a hospital bed today. And difficult times have come. But this is the comfort in it all. For those who know Christ the Savior, the blessing of the Lord rests upon them. So I hope that you'll be encouraged today. Those of you who are saved, you remember whenever life is difficult. You remember when you're having a really bad day. Remember that there's one in heaven whose hands are upraised, and he pronounces the blessing upon you. You see, all of those who are in Christ are blessed. They cannot be anything but blessed. You see, the Lord Jesus blesses his own people, and it's not, don't make this mistake. Don't you think today that you are blessed because of the great person that you are, or I am blessed because of the great person that I am. And Lord, I have done this, and I am so holy, and you know, I've prayed, and I've spent hours in prayer, and I've read the Bible for hours, and Lord, I've went and I've helped people, and I've been respectable, and I've lived such a holy life, Lord, and now you can bless me. No, that's not why we're blessed. You know why we're truly blessed today? Because we're in Christ. Because of his blood and his sacrifice. That's why the blessing of God falls upon us. If it weren't for Christ, and if it weren't for his shed blood today, we would not receive blessing upon our heads, but we would receive wrath and judgment. But what an encouragement for the people of God today to consider that the Lord Jesus Christ, just as he lifted up his hands to bless his people of old, just before he ascended up into heaven, you know, he's still doing that today. He's still blessing his people. And you know, as the Father in heaven looks at the upraised hands, and as he sees the scars and the wounds, the blessing falls. Look with me, first of all, at the structure that is employed here. The structure that is employed. You see, Numbers chapter 6 uses a very interesting structure. And these three verses from verse 24 to 26. There's a very interesting structure used here. You'll notice that there are three sets of two. Triplets, as we call them. There is a triplet here. There's a triple blessing, three blessings. If you'll just look at it again, verse 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. That's the first triplet. That's the first part of the triplet. And then the second part of the triplet, verse 25. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. That's the second part. And then the third part. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Three parts to the Aaronic blessing. Why is that? Is this just chance? Or is there a reason? There is a reason, you know, and the reason is this. Here is the Trinity. Here's the Trinity in the Old Testament. Here's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Surely this is a reference. Surely this is a signpost to the Trinity. Some people have said that in Scripture you can't really prove the Trinity. Well, that's foolish. That's nonsense. The Trinity is very clearly taught in Scripture. And here are these three parts to this Aaronic blessing. And surely this would speak to us of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And you see, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, each one of the persons in the Godhead, bless us. Each one of them bring blessing to us. You see, the Father, he was the one who sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Son was the one who came into the world to save sinners. And the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, he is the one who exalts Christ, and he is the one who glorifies Christ. And all three members of the Trinity have a part in blessing us. And surely when we see the three parts of this Aaronic blessing, surely we ought to think of the Holy Trinity. We began our service today by thinking of the Trinity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. So there's, first of all, the structure that is employed. But not only the structure that is employed, I want you to notice something else about the Aaronic blessing. The sentiment that is expressed. The sentiment that is expressed. Let's consider the three parts of the blessing. First of all, verse 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. First of all, consider with me, the Lord bless thee. You see, we often pray, we often use it in prayer, O Lord, bless such a one and bless that other person, bless so and so. But do we know what it really means for the Lord to bless a person? And do we know today what is the greatest blessing? You see, to be blessed primarily means to be saved. You see, when we're praying that the Lord would bless somebody, do you know what we're actually praying for? We're praying that they'll be saved, that they'll be converted. When we pray for someone who's without Christ and we say, Lord, oh Lord, help them, Lord, bless them. Do you know, we're actually praying for their conversion. How do I know that? How do I know that salvation is the greatest blessing of all? Well, turn to the book of Acts and chapter 3. And we read here about the Lord blessing people. And this is very interesting. Acts chapter 3 and verse 26. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. This is the greatest blessing of all. Whenever the Lord turns us away from our iniquities. This is the greatest blessing that a sinner can receive. This is the greatest blessing that anyone can receive, to be turned away from their iniquities. Tell me this, dear friend. Have you been blessed? In other words, have you been turned away from your iniquities? If you haven't been turned away from your iniquities today, my prayer is for you, the Lord bless thee. The Lord bless thee. Simply meaning, the Lord turn you away from your iniquities. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Keep thee. You see, there's two aspects to the keeping of the Lord. First of all, you see, there's the idea of protection and the Lord keeping his own people. Keeping them safe from enemies, keeping them safe from the attacks of the evil one, preserving them whenever the enemies of the gospel would seek to destroy them. There's the protection of the Lord. But you know, there's the other aspect to keeping. You see, the Lord not only needs to keep us from our enemies, but the Lord needs to keep us from ourselves. In other words, the Lord needs to keep us who are saved from wandering off and going astray. And it's very easy to do that. There's so much temptation. There's so much that would draw us away from Christ. And there are so many things that the devil is using today to turn Christians away from the Savior and to get them into bypath meadow. And we need the Lord to, as it were, keep us from going astray. By nature, we are wanderers. And we need the Lord to keep us. So that's the first sentiment that's expressed here. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. But then the second one, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The image here, the idea here is of a friendly, smiling face. Don't you love a friendly, smiling face? I do. We all like to meet someone who smiles at us. Someone with a warm, comforting face. None of us like to meet someone with a frown and someone with a scowl. Life's difficult enough without seeing people who, with a face like a Lurgan spade. People who would get you even more depressed than you already are. We like to see a smiling, a friendly face. May the Lord indeed help us all to be people with smiling, friendly faces. But the idea here is, and what this sentiment is expressing, is that for those who are saved, the smile of the Lord rests upon them. You know, today, child of God, those of you in the meeting who are washed in the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus is smiling down upon you today, and his face is warm and it's friendly. Now, please don't have the idea and somehow have this notion in your head today that the Lord Jesus is a very stern, a very solemn, and a very sour individual. Very stoical, stiff upper lip sort of person. That's not the Saviour at all. He's warm hearted. He's tender. And remember, he's the person who took the little ones up in his arms and blessed them. That's the kind of person he is today. And for those who are trusting in him, oh, though they're far from perfect themselves, yet because they're trusting in him and they're resting in him for salvation, his smile is upon them. What does it matter if the world frowns upon us? As long as Christ smiles upon us, that's the all-important matter. And if we take a stand for Christ, you can rest assured that the world will frown upon you. People will make life difficult for you. But what a blessing to have the smile of the Lord Jesus Christ resting upon you. And then the third sentiment expressed here is, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You see, this speaks of the rising of the sun. The rising of the sun. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. We all love the sun, and we have appreciated the sun that the Lord has sent over the last day or two. Now, I know that there's been lots of clouds and rain and the cold weather, but we have had glimpses of the sun, and what a tonic it is. But how much more of a tonic it is to have the Son of Righteousness shining upon us, the Lord Jesus Christ shining upon us and lifting up his countenance upon us. And whenever we have Christ, whenever we have the Son of Righteousness, then we have peace. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. So first of all, the structure that is employed, the sentiment that is expressed, and then I want you to notice as we finish today, the supplication that is expected. The supplication that is expected. You see, friends, today, never forget that this Aaronic blessing is a prayer. This is a prayer. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. That's a prayer. the priests, when they raised their hands, Aaron and his sons, when they lifted their hands to the people of Israel, they were praying that the blessing of the Lord would rest upon Israel. And you know what? We too are priests, those of us who are saved. Did you know that? If you're saved today, you are a priest. That might come as a wee bit of a shock to you. That might be a wee bit of a surprise to you. But don't worry, you're not a Roman Catholic priest. You're a spiritual priest. You're one of the priests of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you've got a responsibility. You have got to pray this prayer for your brothers and sisters. Did you know that? You have the responsibility, I have the responsibility of praying that this blessing would rest upon your brothers and sisters, my brothers and sisters. We are to pray for one another. You're to pray for those that you find it hard to pray for. Oh, don't make the mistake of thinking, oh, that you only pray for those that you like to pray for, and those who are your friends, and those that you like to be around, and those who are pleasant, and those who have never done you any wrong, those are the only people you're to pray for. Not at all. You're to pray for every child of God. Even those who have wronged you. Even those who have hurt you. We're to pray one for another. And I trust that we will be those who will pray for one another as spiritual priests. As we go to our homes, I pray that, spiritually speaking, we will lift up our hands like the priests of old, and that we will pray for the brothers and sisters in Christ who attend the church, the brothers and sisters in Christ who are part of this society here in New Buildings. Will you pray for your brothers and sisters? If you do, and if I do, then we will have a healthy church. But of course, you know the one sure sign of a church that's unhealthy is a church where the brothers and sisters don't pray for each other. They don't wish each other the blessing of the Lord. Where there's grudges and arguments and bickering and backbiting. That won't be a healthy church. May the Lord make us into a church that desires to be blessed, and that we as individual believers will pray that other believers will be blessed, that we will pray that the Lord will encourage other believers, and that we will pray that the Lord will strengthen them. But not only pray for them, but let's help them and let's comfort them. You see, let's be a blessing to one another. We can pray this blessing on each other. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. But don't just leave it there. Don't just pray the blessing upon the church. Be a blessing to the church. You be a blessing to this church. I'll be a blessing to this church. Let's determine, let's dedicate ourselves from this point on to be a blessing to each other. Oh, let's be those who seek to comfort each other, those who seek to encourage each other, not those who criticize each other, not those who talk about each other behind their backs, not those who make life difficult for each other. But let's be encouragers today. Let's be like Barnabas. What was Barnabas known as? What did his name mean? The son of consolation. In other words, the son of encouragement. I pray that we'll all be an encouragement, the one to the other. But let us remember this great ironic blessing, and let us take it with us today. And my prayer for you, those of you who are saved, is that the Lord would bless thee and keep thee, and that the Lord would make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, and that the Lord would lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. That's my prayer for you, child of God, as your minister. And of course, I hope that you'll return the favor. I hope that you'll pray for me, that that'll be your prayer for me. Let us pray one for another, and let us seek to encourage one another. Derek Redmond was a 400 meter athlete, and he went to the 1992 Olympic Games in Barcelona. He was running in the semi-finals of the 400 meters, but down the back straight, his hamstring was injured, and he wasn't able to run alongside the other athletes, and he slowed up, and he was in great agony, and he fell onto the track. But as the television cameras followed him, there was a solitary figure who came up behind Derek Redmond. And guess who it was? It was his father. And his father took Derek Redmond by the arm. And for the last, I think it was probably about 200 meters of the race, father and son walked side by side until they crossed the finishing line. You see, Derek Redmond's father helped them and encouraged them. And he came to him when he was in great need. And maybe there's a believer today that you can think of who has stumbled and fell. And maybe you should be like Derek Redmond's father. And you should come alongside them and seek to help them. May the Lord make us all like that.